preached quite a long time ago now, but it wasn't preached, but it's not spoiled. So the topic of this lesson is a part three. What makes a strong congregation? And you must remember that Satan doesn't want a strong congregation. Satan wants us to have weak links, because if we have weak links, that is where he can do some damage and sort of bring down that congregation. So it's very important that we have strong congregations of the Lord's body. Very, very important. This lesson is also akin to a report card. And Brother Pierce mentioned it in a Wednesday night Bible study, and Brother Michelle had responded to him. It's like, the Bible is like a report card, you know. I'm a teacher, so I know what that is about. And in a report card, when the students do an exam, and you're assessing them, and you write on the report card, for some students, you write, excellent, continue the good work. That is a student, probably with an A, or an A+, whatever it said. And then for another student might write, she is making some effort, but she's finding the subject a little difficult. That might be like a B- or a C. And then for another student, you might write, needs improvement in all areas. I know that one though might be a D. But for every student, Brother Pierce, their report card is an indication of what they need to do, am I correct, to improve. It's not saying that they are a failure in life. It's just saying that, you know, Everick, you need to do this, or Michael, you need to do this. And once you do this, you will improve. The student in the school who thinks highly of him or herself and doesn't pay attention to the report card will not make any improvement. Let me say it again. And I've seen, this is just experience. The student who ignores the report card, will not make any improvement. We cannot ignore what the scriptures are teaching us about what makes a strong congregation, because we cannot use our own standards. A lot of students in the school, they say, sir, I know what I'm going to do. You're guiding them, you know, but sir, I know what I'm going to do. And they have this thing about the darkest time before morning, something like that, is before the dawn. There was a student who used to tell me that, you know, oh, sir, the darkest time is just before dawn. I know I will improve. And he's not making any effort at all. So you can't tell yourself, you can't fool yourself that you are following God's standard without reading this, without going to the scriptures. And we saw that in one of the week when we went to the seven churches of Asia, where God gave them a report card. Each of them got a report card. Remember that lesson? The church at Ephesus, their report card, their report comment was, you have abandoned your first love. Revelation 2 verse 4. The church at Smyrna, they would face severe persecution. Revelation 2 verse 10. The congregation of Pergamum is a church that needed to repent of sin. Revelation 2 verse 16. The congregation of Thyatira is a church whose false prophetess was leading the people astray. Revelation 2 verse 20. The church at Sardis was a sleeping church that needed to wake up. Revelation 3 verse 1 to 2. The church in Philadelphia was a church that had patiently persevered. Revelation 3 and verse 10. And the church in Laodicea, we spent some time on that one, and we're going to spend some time again because I believe in revision, you know, is a church with lukewarm faith. Revelation 3, verse 16. Now, each of these letters began with the words, I know, which is emphasizing God's knowledge of everything.
So he's saying to them, you might think that about yourself, but I know this about you, and I'm giving you this report card because I know everything about you. Revelation 3 verse 14 says, and unto the angel of the Laodiceans write, the things which say amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works. I know thy works. You are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because this is what they say about themselves now, church. Be careful in our church. We can't think highly of ourselves. We have to go to this to see if we are in line with scriptures. Listen what they said. Because you say, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that you are wretched, and you are miserable, this report card, and report card is true, and poor, and blind, you are naked. So it's the opposite of what they thought of themselves. This is a lesson for us. It's not a lesson for the Laodicea, it's a lesson for us. And every congregation of the Lord's church, including Patrick City, we have to take stock from time to time and go to the report card. What do we need to improve? In verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that you may be rich. They thought they were rich, eh? And he said that you are going to be rich. And white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So we are seeing that man have a different vision, brother Peard, of what a successful congregation is. We had mentioned that some time ago about they believe that this is a success. They believe that this is success. No. So the Bible now gives us the report card, and we must follow the report card. And that's the only way we will know whether we are following God's word or not. A successful congregation was found also in Thessalonians and in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We had read that also, verse 1 to 3. And also we read from verse 7 to verse 8. Where Paul was giving thanks to them, verse 2 of that book. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. It's a report card, you know. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Do you have the work of faith in this congregation? And another point I must make, I need to make here, is although we are talking about congregation, listen carefully now. I think Fabian, I know we are coming. Although we say congregation, don't hide yourself in the numbers. What are you contributing to the congregation? What are you as an individual contributing to the congregation? Because, trust me, if some people behave, you know, slothful, the church could not do anything at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. If everybody behaved like a slothful member, nothing would be done. I want that thinking. If everybody behaved like a slothful member, nothing will be done. If everybody had robbed God on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, when the brothers come back with the offering plate, the offering plate is down there. So anything in the offering plate? No. If anybody comes down with the offering plate, it would be empty. I want this to sink in, you know. So it's not, I love to talk about congregation. It's the individual responsibility. Because some of us will say, oh, this is not done, oh, that is not done. It takes money to do it. It takes money to make sure the building clean, you know. And the grounds are properly manicured and everything. So if when we come down and we pass the offering plate, and if everybody robbed and nobody gave, the plate will be completely empty. So the individual makes up the congregation. So when Paul said, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you, he was talking about the congregation, yes, but it's also individual in the congregation. Remember, without ceasing your work of faith, do you have work of faith? Do you have labor of love? Do you have patience of hope? Look at verse 7 now. So that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. So that congregation got a good report from Paul. Good report. A congregation also needs to be knowledgeable and well taught and respect the word of God. But let me mention that this morning, where some Church of Christ are now trying to imitate, and you can see it, denominational and denominational type of worship. Make sure that this congregation, I'm talking to the young ones now, because we, to take up this, that generational thing. Oshie, okay, make sure that you're all knowledgeable, that when I pass away, the Patrick's in the congregation can still remain at 6 Waterhouse Drive. And if we were to come back from the dead and come here one day, we don't see no clapping and jumping and music. Right? We don't want to see that. So we want to make sure that the church is knowledgeable, well taught, and respect the word of God. Turn with me, Rakoy, or any one of you, to Hebrews chapter 5. I want us to read this passage together. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through to verse 14. Read it for me, Rakoy, or Hussein, any one of the two of you. Hebrews chapter 5, from about verse 11 through to about verse 14. What does it say?
Of whom we have many things to say.
Yes.
And hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
Yes.
For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
All right, stop right here. I know for this congregation we get good feeding. Amen? We get good feeding from Brother Mitchell over these many years. But you as a member, are you exercising that? Are you? As old in the faith as I am, when Brother Mitchell is preaching, if you look in my book, it's full of Brother Mitchell lessons. Full. I still write them down, Brother Mitchell, the passages and everything. And I find time to look through them in the week. So what are you saying here? For when the time you ought to be teachers, God has an expectation of you. You know, just go on, say, you know. Teachers got along, so God has an expectation of you. He has an expectation of each congregation, and he has an expectation of each member in the congregation. Amen? Yes. He has that expectation, for he says in verse 12, for the time... You ought to be what? Teachers. You still have to have somebody teach you again and again. But they go way back in the Bible. They have to be taught now again the first principles, you know, of the oracles of God. Always wanting first principles. That can't work. You can't have a successful congregation if that is happening to you. Because it's like you're tossed to and fro with every wind of what? Doctrine. You can't have that. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14-16. Read it for me, Rakoy. Quick. Chapter 4, verse 14-16. I don't want Brother Pierce to start looking at me. Because I get afraid of Brother Pierce there, you know, because when I do Sunday black morning class, right, Brother Pierce? When Brother Pierce took up the phone and look at it. So my time is going out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 40 and 60. Read what it says for me, Brother Kai, please.
That we henceforth be no more children.
No, if God don't want that for us. Mm-hmm.
Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
By the sleight of men,
yes,
and cunning craftiness,
mm-hmm,
whereby they lie in wait to deceive,
mm-hmm,
but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Continue.
For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted,
mm-hmm,
by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
The Church of Christ, every congregation, you know, the uttermost mission, you know, Brother Michelle, is edification, you know. Am I correct, Brother Michelle? It's edification. So if you are not feeding the congregation, if the congregation is not allowing itself to be fed with truth, then it is not a strong congregation. And if it's not a strong congregation, every little thing that come around will throw them off their feet. So the tossed to and fro with every wind of what? Doctrine. We don't want that for our congregation. We don't want that for any congregation of the Church of Christ. We must study. We must make use of the Bible's knowledge, edify ourselves, so we know when people come in and telling us foolishness. Just talk, call a spade. You should never occupy the pulpit of any kind of Church of Christ if you're not knowledgeable. What are you going to teach people? Emotionalism? Talk what you want to talk, opinionated? You have to come to this pulpit here at Patrick City and know what you're doing. Know the scriptures, right? Because if you don't know the scriptures, anybody can throw you off. Anybody can throw you off. And then you have to know the scriptures to be, because the world that we're living in now is full with so many denominations, so many false doctrine. Don't wait until they come to you. Now you can't handle yourself. You must be able to handle yourself, even the basic. Have some passages ready in your mind that when they come to you, the nonsense, you're able to rebut it. Right, Brother Michelle? Yes. So a strong congregation is not a slothful congregation. Because if a congregation is slothful and lazy, apostasy is bound to follow. I'm going to say it again. If a congregation is slothful and don't apply themselves to the scriptures, then that congregation is bound to fail. Because it doesn't have any meat. It doesn't have any meat. So it's just charismatic preacher alone cannot build a congregation. Fancy words alone and excitement cannot build a congregation. Emotionalism cannot build a congregation. You have to have the knowledge of God's word and be able to rebut. So anybody who wants the pulpit, anybody, you're young and you say you want a pulpit, begin the preparation from now. Start your studying of the scriptures so you know how to rebut. You know the truth. Because the pulpit is an awesome responsibility. And if you can use your tongue to teach people around the pulpit, make sure you're teaching right things. So you have to have a strong congregation, is a knowledgeable one, well taught, respect the word of God, is not slothful in study. Not slothful in study. Because if you're slothful in study, apostasy is going to follow. A strong congregation, our next point about it, is that a strong congregation of the Church of Christ will not condone sinful living. No. Regardless of the size of the congregation, regardless of what they call the wealth of the congregation, if it does not hate sin and love truth and righteousness, it is weak. Weak. So we can't And Brother Michelle tell us this all the while, you know. A person backslide from the congregation, when they return, there are steps for them to do. Am I correct? There are things for them, they must acknowledge that they have sinned. You can't just take them back into fellowship like that, because that weakens your congregation beyond whatever you can. It just weakens it. Indiscipline, sinfulness, you can't allow it to continue. What does the report card say? Not just what Brother Gilbert, what your report card says. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 for me. And let us look at verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, Paul says to them, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much even named among the Gentiles, you know, that one should have his father's wife. Listen to verse 2 now. And you are puffed up. If you are puffed up in sin, you cannot be helped, you know. There's no way that God can help you. And that you have, and you should have been mourning. Have not mourned that he had done this deed might be taken away from among you. So they should have been mourning, but instead of being mourning, they were puffed up. They are puffed up. They have members, you know, who they know that they have sinned. But I don't know what it is. Human beings, they know that they have sinned, Brother Michelle, and they don't even want to be corrected. And when you're correcting them, they feel puffed up. And they're the most righteous person in the world. If you don't have strong leadership to put the foot down, even although it may not be a popular decision, the church will be very weak. Very, very weak. And you won't have a conscious church of Christ. So if you have people who, because they are bullying, it's like they are bullying the minister, bullying the faithful men, and bullying the faithful sisters, and they don't want to be spoken to about their behavior at all. And they're bullying the church. And you have some congregations, that is happening, you know. It's happening in some congregations, you know. It's like the faithful brothers and sisters are afraid. It's almost like they're not afraid of certain members. They don't want to talk to those members. They're afraid of them. No, no, no. We have to stand up. Anybody who's going to take a pulpit at the pastor's church of Christ must be strong enough to stand up. Talking to younger ones, though, you know, to coming up, you have to have the strength of back. You can't be afraid of people. Can't be afraid of people. Our next passage I'll be looking on is Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. A strong congregation. Remember now, you are individual, you have a responsibility to make it strong as well. Brethren, if a man be overtaken a fault, you which are spiritual, what must you do? Restore such a one. We have a responsibility to do that. In the spirit of what? Meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Right? So we must have that ministry, Brother Mitchell, to reach out to people who are at fault. We can't make them go at fault and just go on saying, you know? And we see the fault and we just let it go on like that, because that is going to weaken the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Everybody turn to that passage for me. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren. This is what leadership has to do, Brother Michelle. It's not popular. Is it popular, Brother Michelle? Answer me, not popular. No. Warn them. Am I right, Brother Bill? Warn them that are unruly. So sometimes, Brother Pierce, some warning will have to take place. But when you talk to people who want the warning, you're going to get the backlash. You must take it because you warned them. Okay, you didn't warn them because of foolishness. You warned them because they were going astray. They must have the humility not to say, Brother Pierre, what you said to me, or Brother Mitchell, what you're saying to me is so. It is really so. I'm going to improve. But warn them. If you stop warning people in the church, your church is going to be weak. So warn them that are unruly. You have some category of Christians, you know, Brother Earl, who are unruly. We have to warn them. Then we have to comfort some. Some of them are feeble-minded. You have to comfort the feeble-minded. You have to support the weak. And then you have to be patient toward all men. Because growing a church, but I'm sure I can tell you that, growing a congregation for many years, you have to exercise patience. It can be frustrating. Am I correct, Brother Michelle? At times, it can be frustrating. So you have to be patient toward all men. Now, so we have seen certain things at the report card. Remember this report card? We're following, you know, the report card. Not Brother Gilbert, the report card. See it right here? The report card. We follow the report card. A congregation cannot be strong if it is divided. A congregation cannot be strong if it is what? Divided. Satan wants us to be divided. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, but don't read it yet. You have to get the context of it first. It's a passage we always use, Brother Mitchell, for denominationalism, but it can also be used for any form of division. Even at the micro level, even within the church. You call that kind of division sectarian. What you call it? Sectarian spirit. A sectarian spirit is not spiritual. Let me call the word again. It's called sectarian. It's division. It's not spiritual. It's like political division at the congregational level. We don't want that in our congregation because that is going to weaken our congregation. But when I was much younger, we go men's class, Brother Michelle, we would say things. Sometimes I was always surprised, you know, that a congregation would have that kind of problem. I hear that this congregation have leadership crisis. And this brother, Brother Michelle, would guide us in men's class and say, be careful of these things. Remember, Brother Michelle, about this happening abroad and this happening here. And sometimes you believe a congregation would not have that problem. But sometimes it does crop up. Sectarianism, division within the congregation. Satan loves that. Because he gets us now distracted now from the purpose of the edifying that the church is supposed to be doing. And get us now into ego thing, ego game, division game, and all kind of nonsense. So sectarian now, how does it work? Sectarian is where some people have strong support for some people and less support for other people. It is wrong. It is sinful. It caused the church not to be able to do its work. And I was sometimes, I won't see the congregation name, but I was surprised that something happened at some congregation. It took me by surprise. But it ought not to, because if you're not following the report card, you will fall into it. You'll fall into that trap. We cannot fall into that sectarianism trap. Satan wants that trap. And he waits for the time to spring it. So we have to be always watching the report card. We might say it can't happen at Patrick City. It probably could. We have to watch the report card. Now, in verse 10, he says, read it for me, Rakai or Oshin. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What does it say?
Now I beseech you, brethren.
Stop a second. Okay, stop it every minute. No, he's begging them about something. Beseech means to beg. Am I right, Fabian? He's begging them about something. Beseech is a strong word. Mm-hmm. Because it means, no, he's telling them not to do certain things. Because it might weaken the church. So I beseech you, brethren. Continue.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
that ye all speak the same thing,
yes,
and that there be no divisions among you,
yes,
but that ye be perfectly joined together,
yes,
in the same mind,
yes,
and in the same judgment.
So we must have the same doctrine. The same doctrine. We mustn't be divided in terms of doctrine. Because the church will be weak if we are divided in terms of that. That's why we have to know the truth and respect it. Continue.
For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you.
Stop here, sir, now. The house of Chloe, where it fathers. They say it fathers. Nothing wrong with it, farmer, if you do the right thing. So they were telling Paul that something is going on. There are contentions there. So they have division in terms of doctrine. You don't want division in terms of, I don't want division in terms of personalities either. Paul had to keep on all the while telling them he's an apostle. You don't want divisions in terms of personalities. So you're going to start in verse 12. Read verse 12.
Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.
Stop. Division in terms now of personalities. You can't imagine if Paul was an egotistic person. Paul said, what are they thinking of me? I have one of them I'm thinking of. Oh, that is good. But Paul rebuked them. Because it's wrong. Because that weakens the church, Fabian. It weakens the church. May it never happen at Patrick City Congregation. What I hear happening at some places. Some places, people are fighting over the pulpit, Brother Richard. Over pulpit, you know, with the preach. But they are far gone because that is a carnal spirit that has nothing to do with spirituality. Even if they say they're preaching from the Bible, that is carnal because the ego come in and they want pulpit. That is wrong. Some of you say, I am of Paul. I want to follow Paul. They miss the boat entirely. Christians are about sectarianism. Who want to follow Paul? No. You will in life, listen to me carefully, you have to balance everything. In life, it's natural, Brother Mitchell, that a person will like a particular speaker. Am I right, Fabian? It's just natural. Even at school, it happens. Some students will say, oh, they like how Mr. Brown teaches class, or they'll say they like how Mr. Gilbert teaches class, or so on. But you don't take it a step backwards now. And I used to say, no, oh, you're not going to support the school, you're not going to support the school body because I don't like how Mr. Gilbert teaches me in class. I want this person to teach me. No, no, no. That will bring it down. So it is natural for a person to say, okay, I like how Brother Mitchell delivered a sermon. Liking how somebody doing so and going down into division, into sectarianism now is wrong. Because the sectarianism now, listen how it goes now. This is how sectarianism goes now, Fabian. Somebody might say in the congregation, I like how Fabian teach. I like how Brother Gilbert. I like how Brother Gilbert deliver. I like how Fabian deliver. But the sectarianism come now is if Brother Fabian is going to be preaching now, you know why I come to because Brother Fabian teach. That is a sectarianism now. Are you following me? And then you come to Brother Gilbert, I don't like how Fabian preach. And then Brother Gilbert says, oh yeah, you know, you like how we preach. That's sectarianism. It is wrong. It will destroy the congregation. It will destroy the congregation and everything that we are standing for. And we see it now in different congregations. It's happening abroad. I was shocked sometimes about the things I hear in Michael happening abroad. You know, shocked. Sectarianism. It is evil. It is evil. So it's not just denominationalism, you know. It can happen at the micro level, within the congregation. And it takes a very insidious way. Very insidious way. We have to be watchful for it, guys. And sisters and brothers, watchful. Any time we see the seed of it coming up, we just chop it off. Because Satan wants that, Brother Pierre, in order to destroy the body of Christ. If he can destroy different congregations, then it means no, because every congregation or community no, is a point of influence for God. Am I correct? It is where God now can carry out his work in that community. So the community see infighting in the congregation. And word goes out fast, and sometimes it reaches a stage. I've heard of stage, you know, Brother Mitchell, where it reaches the public, you know. The public, but me and Fabian. Hope not the road, you know. It is shameful. It is shameful. People allow them ego and to get to them, they want pulpit. And they start infighting until it reach all out into the road. And when they come, just say, what those people are talking about? One true church? Look at them now. You saw the one true church behave? Look at them now. They can't even control themselves inside. It is shameful. It is shameful. You know, I like to teach plain. It is shameful. So that is what we have. Read it again for me, Brother Rocker. Read it straight through. I'm not going to stop you this time.
Beginning at verse 10?
Yes, man. Everybody listen carefully. Sectarianism is sinful.
Amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Mm-hmm.
For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you.
So what you have? Contentions.
Amen.
Continue.
Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ.
Stop. They don't know nothing about spirituality. That's right. They don't understand Christianity at all. If they are doing that, sectarianism, they don't understand the purpose of God and what God wants for the church. The church isn't a place for man's ego. It's not a place for man's ego. To satisfy your ego, it's a place where God edifies his people. So if you have ego tendencies, that is not the place. Am I right, Brother Richard? Yes. It's a place where edification takes place, because if you have ego come into it, the church is going to be destroyed. Satan is going to make sure he weakens the congregation and bring it down, so you cannot have that at all. Let us revise. You know, I'm a teacher, so I like to revise before I end my lesson. We're going to summarize what we have been saying so far. What makes a strong congregation? A strong congregation is not the amount of money and wealth it has. A strong congregation is not the beautiful building nor edifice. A strong congregation is not because it has a charismatic preacher. A strong congregation is not because it has influential members. A strong congregation is not because it tells itself that it's strong. We don't go into the report card. A strong congregation is not because it tells itself that it's rich. A strong congregation is not because it tells itself it doesn't need anything. It has to go to the instruction of the Word of God. A strong congregation is not lazy. A strong congregation is going to be studious of the Word of God. Each person in that congregation is going to be studious to see if what the teacher is saying, or if it's really so in the Bible. Because if they're not studious, apostasy is going to follow. A strong congregation is not going to encourage sinful behavior within its ranks. And therefore, the ministers and leaders of that church must be men and women strong enough to correct people and warn them without being fearful of them. A strong congregation is faithful to God's word. A strong congregation is growing, it's a growing congregation. A strong congregation does not have a spirit of sectarianism among its people, because they know they have the purpose of God. Am I right, Fabian? To fulfill the purpose of God. And sectarianism is going to destroy that. So I hope that you have, some of you might have taken notes. This ends the series about a strong congregation. I hope that it benefited you a lot. Thank you very much. Michael.